A couple weeks ago on the very popular Riley Moss episode, Bo Bauer joined the show. He was in town at Kevin's house. Now he sits down as the feature guest, and we catch up with him after over 3 years since his last appearance on The Walk-Ons. It'll be one of the more casual conversations that you hear us have. We catch up on Bo's life and have a great time. Let's have a day. Let's go. Bo, you were featured. You weren't featured on the episode, but you participated in the episode a couple weeks ago. And now we get you as the full feature. And I don't know why Kevin just went in and out there. We'll bring him back into the show. Hey, Kev.
What's up, fellas? You know, I saw our guy Jake Gervais last night. His internet must have rubbed off on me a little bit. So we had a little malfunction there.
Did you just get back from the woods? It looks like you were hunting, Bo, or is that just your normal apparel?
Just normal. Shout out poncho. I got the hat on, got the shirt on. Great attire. Great attire for the summertime.
Are you a sponsor athlete?
I wish, because it's expensive as shit.
What about that coat you had on at the Wisconsin game? What brand was that?
At the Wisconsin game? Swazi.
Swazi.
Shout out Swazi New Zealand. It's a New Zealand brand hunting company, and they make some elite shit.
When are you just going to become Cam Haynes and you're going to blow up for just being a savage and you can just be a hunting guru and just all around outdoorsman influencer?
I need to make a lot of money with Stryker, and then I can quit that and become a full-time outdoorsman. I'm not on Cam's level yet, but
certainly not running wise.
No, definitely not. I'll never run again. I refuse to run.
Running sucks.
Tell me about that. You never want to run again?
Nope. I fucking hate running. I'll never do it again.
Is it your knees?
No, just I guess my mentality. Why run when I have to? I don't have to. So all I do is ruck. That's a lot less what running does. I think 1,200 foot-pounds per inch on your knees. I'm in the knee business. So knowing that, why would I do it when rucking puts about 400 to 500 foot-pounds on my knees and hips?
But with the stats, dude, what's going on here?
If we needed an excuse, there's my excuse. So, boom.
Just in general, though, man, it sucks. Like, long-distance running sucks ass. I don't mind sprinting, but like I'll do some sprint workouts and I'm like, yeah, that, you know, it was hard, but it was all right. Long distance running just sucks.
I did a sprint workout yesterday, 200. Yeah.
Kevin, have you always worn glasses?
These are blue light glasses.
You look very tired.
I am tired. I had quite a long weekend and I had a long day of travel today.
Nice. Do you have some alcoholic beverages?
I had one or two.
Kevin's a big fan of the pops. Has a lot of pop. Yeah. He is the CEO. Speaking of Stryker, he is the CEO. So, $110 billion company, by the way.
As of Friday's close, yeah.
So
damn, that's what it's at.
Yeah. So you're planning to make a lot of money with them. I mean, it checks out.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll see what happens.
You're into the rucking.
Yeah, I stay in shape because in Colorado, like all I do is if I'm outdoors, like I'm trying to hunt and I live at like 6,500 feet, 6,200 feet. And so like the mountains are literally right across the I-25 where I live right now in Colorado Springs. And I've got some pretty good hikes picked out. I kind of go and ruck and put 45, 50 pounds, 60 pounds on my back to get ready for fall elk season and fall muley and antelope and bear and all that stuff. So I haven't been able to do as much as I'd like, but it's good to stay in shape doing it.
Do you ever have to buy your own meat or do you just kill what you eat?
I have a lot of bison still.
Dude, bison's good.
My uncle, Yeah, he ended up, he was fortunate enough to have somebody he knew that was getting rid of a full buffalo. So
who's just getting rid of a full buffalo?
They so these farms, right? They have these bison, buffalo, whatever you want to call them. And once they get to about 5 years, they start to roam. Mm-hmm. So they start to kind of get away, and they start to kind of try to, I don't know, find their own path, I guess. They're sick of busting nuts 24/7, so they must go along and do their own thing. And once they get to about five, it's kind of time for them to get out of there. So
would they try to go start their own herd or something? Or
basically, they just get really nomadic. They just start to wander a little bit.
They're like a post college kid who's like tired of swiping all the tenders and like, nah, I just got to go find out what life's about, man.
It's like a 45-year-old, 46-year-old with erectile dysfunction. Let's put it that way.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he can still perform. He just doesn't really want to. But if we're putting
it's not what drives him anymore.
Yeah, it's not the drive. Like, yeah, he just wants to kind of roam, and that used to be his only drive.
This is why we brought Bo on the podcast,
and so someone just puts this poor 45-year-old man out of his misery or something.
Pretty much. And then I eat him. So I've got like 200 pounds of ground meat left in my
I was just going to say, you have 200 pounds in your freezer?
Easily. Yeah. Oh, probably less than that. Probably like 150. But
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Every week. I eat it every week.
How many pounds does the average buffalo produce of meat?
Anywhere from small one, 400 up to like 800 pounds, because it's a 2,200 on the high end, 1,600, 1,200 pound animal. And they're huge. Yeah, he's got the hide. It's ridiculous. The head on this thing is like prehistoric. It makes no sense. It is so cool. Oh, it's so cool. So lucky enough, he was able to get one. I want to get one next year too. I'd love to have one. It's just hard because either you buy at market price from somebody, or you go and you know somebody that's trying to get rid of a washed up 5 year old.
Do you think that the Native Americans who just hunted the millions of buffalo on the Great Plains back in the day before the white man showed up had the best lives ever?
No, probably not. Because killing a buffalo with a bow and a spear would be horrible.
Dude.
Like they take bullets. I mean, we've got the technology nowadays. I mean, if you guys who are actually like hunting buffalo, I mean, they soak bullets. They'll soak like 300 grains like five times in a row, you know, and then you got guys with spears and makeshift arrowheads trying to kill these things. I can't even imagine.
So you bring up a good point. This whole conversation brings up a good point. This is where my mind jumps to. We always talk about how our ancestors, you know, they hunted buffalo, they hunted whatever they had to
eat. Not your ancestors, but your ancestors were not hunting buffalo, Kluver.
What were they hunting?
Buffalo did not exist in Europe, you dumb shit.
They were hunting something.
Not buffalo is what I'm saying.
So
definitely not buffalo, but when they came over here, they were, but they had high power rifles, so
right,
a little easier.
Some of these hunting excursions back when they had to, that was their form of getting food. Sometimes it went bad, right? Like sometimes hunts didn't go as planned.
You got mauled, you got ran over, or you just died.
Can you imagine if you had video footage of like a hunt going bad from 100,000 years ago?
It's funny because 100,000 years ago, having video footage would have been interesting, but we have footage nowadays of idiots hunting now, and it's
sure
fantastic.
It's fantastic.
People are so stupid. I mean, it's not, like, I shouldn't say, like, and I'll backtrack a little bit. Like, a lot of people hunt buffalo. People don't think like buffalo are hunting stuff. They are. They're not as free range as they used to be, obviously. Like, they're, a lot of them are kept on these big ranches, but people still shoot them with bows all the time and trad. And when I talk about trad, like, I mean, literally a stick and a string, just like the ancestors used to do. They'll shoot them still with old school bows, which is just kind of more of a challenge. But people do it all the time for every animal, and it's so difficult.
It's more of the game.
Yeah, it's more of the drive.
Tastes better when you do it that way.
Yeah, it tastes so much better. Hmm. So delicious. It tastes just as good with 300 grain 338 Lapua Magnum. I can promise you.
So for those listening, if you haven't caught on yet, Bo likes to hunt.
I like to hunt.
And
have you ever considered hunting a human being?
Yes, many times.
Well, funny you mentioned that, Kevin, because we're going to get to these on the back end of the podcast, but I sent out a little feeler of questions. Hey, we're going to have Bo on tonight. Anybody got questions for him? We fielded plenty. One of them was, in fact, Gary, you want to come in here and read that question if you can, if you remember which one that was. I believe that one was on the Discord. If you want to go and find that one, maybe it wasn't.
It's you want me to just read it?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, it's from Swish wants to know, what would be your ideal way of killing someone and disposing of the body?
So that's from our private Discord. Shout out if you want to be a part of that. WashedUpWalkOns, patreon.com/WashedUpWalkOns.
I mean, I'm not saying I've ever thought about it, but if I had thought about it.
But if you had to think about it right now.
I mean, the actual execution part would be the easy part. It's the disposal where people get caught.
Yeah, I feel like you have to acid bath them, right? Just melt them.
Either you do that or you just, you got a really big excavator and you dig down really deep at some construction site. I mean, there's one right outside my house right now, and then they just get, they get paved over or they get concrete mixed over, and
a lot of bodies end up in construction sites.
Yeah, I think there's a lot more than you think, because it makes sense.
It's the best place.
They're already digging a hole. You're not going to look into a hole that's 20 feet down in the ground, and it gets buried the next day, and then it gets paved over, and that's it.
I was going to say, especially with the skyscrapers on top of it, you're not getting to that thing.
I think there was a story one time, actually, a guy tried to do that, but in construction, because I worked in construction for a while.
Yeah, you did.
Heavy civil. And they do testing on like concrete and asphalt of like how thick it is, how compact it is. Mm-hmm. You have to pass a certain rating so that a car can drive on it. Mm-hmm. Or like the longevity of the asphalt to pass. So someone's not just putting asphalt down that might not be of spec. And then in a year, it's just blown up and shitty. And somebody was like testing it, and there was like a void, like this random void in the middle of like the asphalt, the concrete. They're like, what the hell? And so they went and they completely redid it, and they found a body. That's the only reason they found it, is because they were doing testing to it.
You heard about this, or this was actually something your company?
No. This is a story from like way back in the day. I don't know. I don't know the accuracy of it or when it happened, but something along those lines where someone was buried in like some concrete or something like that, and they had to dig them back up because of the voids. I think it might have been like a retaining wall or something. I don't remember. Yeah.
Fascinating stuff.
Tell me the transition. You worked, it seemed like from an outside perspective as your friend, you worked like 200 hours a week when you were in construction, and you were doing some sort of engineering. We make the joke that Bo Bauer has now been a Division I football player, an engineer, and a doctor through his three, through the last 10 years, last decade or so.
Professional football player too. Don't you cut my man short.
Yeah. Pro football player.
Barely.
Engineer. Doctor.
Hunter-gatherer.
He's like all-time QB. He's all-time hunter-gatherer.
Mr. West Branch.
You went out. This is how you found your way to Colorado after playing. In fact, tell us a little bit, because I don't even know way back when we had you on it for your specific episode of this podcast, if you talked about the end of your football career and how that all wrapped up, and then how you got out to Colorado.
I think that was episode 4.
It was early.
Or something like that.
It was early.
We like had to redo it because it didn't record or something. I don't remember what that was.
Dude, that was back in, we had some tech difficulties every time we opened this thing up. We still do, but we're better at figuring them out.
I got fiber, so you don't have to worry about my internet. It's blazing fast.
And it doesn't surprise me at all that you have fiber.
It's nice. It's a new build out here, so they're putting fiber in. Basically, I was with the Broncos for a while, right? So that brought me out to Colorado. And then my fiance, which was not my fiance at the time, shout out Rachel. She was at the University of Iowa when we were there. She bartended at DC's. You know, I was I tried to hit on her. She was too good for me. She was too good for a lot of people. You know, I was just that other drunk football player at DC's. I guess Ike always said that we'd be together, but I mean, that's always the story. I do believe it. I can't remember him saying it, but he swears that he said it, so I believe him, because anything Girth said is true, because Girth is king.
If it comes out of Girth's mouth, it's gospel.
We're having Girth on like very soon, by the way.
I'm so erect for that. Girth is such a king. Anyway, moved out. I was out in Colorado with the Broncos for a while. We actually had a training day down in the Olympic City area of Colorado Springs. Colorado Springs is known for the Olympic Training Center and all that stuff. So we decided to go down there and stayed the night, kind of like looked around, and Rachel actually slid in my DMs.
the Riz, though.
Rizzy. So I was like, hey, like, she's like, what are you doing in the Springs? And I'm like, why are you DMing me? And
did you talk to her before that?
No. Like, she just cold
DM slide after the only communication you guys had was you very briefly hitting on her at a bar.
Yeah, for sure. She knew of me. We had each other on Instagram. I thought she was just jersey chasing because I was with the Broncos at the time, but she was an idiot and was like, I thought you were practicing out there for the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'm like, I graduated. Yeah. So I don't believe it for a second, but she's going to hear this and probably be pissed off. But
she is okay. Not going to listen to this. There's no way.
She will after I tell her I'm on it. But
just don't tell her.
Yeah, I probably.
No.
Don't let me answer anything. Yeah, communication. Thank you, Kluver.
Communication.
You're about to say it.
Yep. Honesty, communication.
We tell each other everything. So,
Kevin, you should know that too. You're getting married.
Yeah. Different strokes for different folks.
You two are both engaged and getting married. Wow, dude. Welcome to the club, man.
Drake's next.
Drake's the only one left.
Drake's next. It's gonna be great. So yeah. Met. She invited me to a military ball. We went to a military ball.
I remember that.
I've never looked back. Yeah, I was obsessed with her. And obviously, she's obsessed with me. I mean,
you guys are just simping over each other ever since.
Oh, yeah, and we couldn't stay away from each other. And then I stopped the football thing and moved. I went back to Iowa for a while to train after the Broncos released me. And then I was like, screw it. I want to be by you. And then I moved back here and she got deployed for 9 months and she's been basically kind of deployed and not deployed, but deployed in country ever since, whether she be in Virginia, Fort Campbell in Kentucky. But she finally gets out May 3rd. Finally. So
make it sound like prison.
Tell her thank you for her service.
Yeah. You guys, by the way, disgustingly perfect for each other. Just absolute like puzzle pieces that fit. It's awesome to see.
Yeah. I'm into goth chicks with tattoos. So she fits that bill perfect.
I don't know. I wouldn't call her goth necessarily. She's
definitely goth.
She has like,
she's got a dark side, I guess you could say.
I'd call her edgy.
I see goth just fits her so much better.
Okay. Well,
just let me have my fantasy. Quiver.
I'm trying to keep the eroticism low here because we could go downward spiral really fast. Let's not. I don't know. No. After you were with the Broncos, quick, because the people on this podcast do like to hear about the football side of things. I searched a picture of you before this podcast to tweet out that we were having you on. And I found a picture of you in a Vikings jersey. So did you spend time in Minnesota? And then weren't you down in New Orleans for a cup of coffee as well?
Minnesota, New Orleans, and then I stuck with the Broncos. I actually signed with them. I was only in camp with the Vikings in New Orleans. New Orleans is easily my most hated place on the earth.
Wow.
It's like – and I was down there for – obviously for camp, so like it was all full then, but it was like 98 degrees, full humidity, and it was sunny. And I remember we were doing like kickoff drill because obviously special teams is where it's made when you're trying to make a team. I've only thrown up one other time, and it was, I don't know if you guys remember this, but it was during Prowlers. I got carted off in college.
You got carted off?
It was in the indoor. I got Prowler sickness. like freshman year. I was head down, just trying to hammer them out, and I threw up.
It was on the far end of the indoor.
Yes, and Russ comes out with the cart and puts me on it because like I threw up everything. I was so dehydrated.
You realize that as we walked off the field, obviously you went off before we did, and then as our group called it up, broke it down, and walked off the field, people were very concerned because Bo was carted off.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
It was bad.
Because you were seen... Well, I'm not going to speak for everybody. At least from my standpoint, you were seen as a guy who kind of crushed stuff, right? You were pretty fit, pretty well-conditioned, handled that stuff pretty well, even as a young guy, because that did happen our second year. Mm. People were a little worried. That next group that was getting ready to stretch, they were like, oh, fuck, Bo got carted off.
I was kind of worried for myself because I didn't realize what happened. That's the only time I've ever thrown up at Iowa.
Is that the scariest you've ever been about your own health?
For sure. I didn't even know what was going on because you do prowlers, and I was young, and we'd done it before, but that day was like so hot, and it was just everything kind of aligned perfectly. And Wiseman always tries to tell you how to do prowlers because he's such a god at them, and you know you kind of fail doing it, and you just got to learn after your first time, and then kind of move on from there. But
bad to listen to Mark in a sense of, hey, just do it, because Kevin and I just had this conversation like two podcasts ago. About how he's just better at everything.
The Hebrew hammer is better than everyone at everything.
Yeah.
He's like Frankenstein, but athletic and can just go forever. It makes no sense.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So he's elite. But anyway, back to New Orleans, like I remember doing kickoff drill and I'd gone like twice and I threw up in my mouth and swallowed it. Like that's the second time I've ever, like I'm talking like, it should have been projectile vomit. I didn't want anyone to see me throw up because they run that program down there like Doyle and KF did. Like
it's, Saints do?
Oh yeah. I mean, we could have totally went in the indoor. I mean, it was a million degrees out there, but I will just stay outside in the grass and just get completely caked. Build a city below sea level, smart. You know, it's just sweaty, hot, cracked out. Makes me shiver.
New Orleans is below sea level?
Most of it is, or like half of it, something like that. Yeah. Go ahead and blame the French on that one.
I did not know that.
So smart.
How was the Canes, by the way, pre-podcaster?
Fantastic. Canes, shout out Canes. It's my Sunday ritual now. I had Canes for the first time like 2 months ago, and I get it every Sunday.
Is that because you can't have Chick-fil-A on Sunday?
Yeah. If Chick-fil-A was on Sunday, I'd probably still have Canes over it, actually. Canes is so fire. So
you were done with football. That would have been just that first summer/camp out of Iowa, yep. Right? So this is fall. This is fall of 18.
Yes. Yeah. When all this is going on is fall of 18. Yes.
And you moved out to Colorado in the winter.
Yeah. Yes. In the winter time at the end of, cause I was out in Colorado, obviously, cause I signed with them, went through camp, was out in Colorado.
Oh, right.
Yep. And then came back to Iowa for a little bit after I got cut and then came back to Colorado because I fell in love.
Love.
Yeah. Love is real, man. And I'm going to just give you guys a word of advice. Everyone talks about distance and how shitty it is, how you can't do distance. If you truly love someone, it'll work. Just remember that. Take a little bit of advice from me, because if you're going to take any advice, it's going to be that.
Dude, two things I'm taking away from this podcast is, if you really love somebody, it'll work no matter the distance. And two, a 5-year-old buffalo is just like a 45-year-old man with erectile dysfunction. That's the two things I'm taking away from this.
Yep, dude, take it away. Take it away, boys.
This is why we bring Bo on, for the wisdom, man.
Well, I'm full of so much wisdom.
I know you are. I want to hear more of it.
Either that or bullshit. I want your wisdom
inside of me.
What do you think about AI?
Are we
fucked? Is AI going to take over? Are we screwed?
I saw that. Wasn't there a deal where Elon Musk was in front of Congress talking about how our AI is to the point where already that it's like dangerous? Didn't I see that on the news not too long ago?
Elon's been pretty forefront of the regulation side of AI for a while now. And then I saw something today, a thread today, about how AI is exponentially – the growth of AI is only exponential, right, in the most steep way possible, because right now AI learns from stuff that we've done, right, mm-hmm. stuff that we've programmed, everything that we've put on the internet and into technology. But at some point, AI starts to learn about things that its self is doing. And at that point, it gets like – the it gets fast and everything else gets like we might be fucked. I mean, and this is when we go to West Branch, Iowa, and we all just go live on the hill.
Yep, there we go. I mean, I don't know shit about AI, so I can't really speak on it. I just know that from what I've heard, it's gonna make the world a lot better place, and it's also gonna maybe nuke the world. I don't know. I guess we're gonna find out. The world's supposed to end in fire, so maybe this is gonna be it. We'll find out.
What a quote.
Revelations. Hit it up.
Revelations. Drop it fucking.
West Branch. Shout out West Branch too. The legend himself, Butch Peterson, ended up passing away a couple weeks back. So give a shout out there.
You were back, right, for it?
Yeah, I went back and I was like, Butch Peterson is an absolute goat, and the man basically planned his funeral, and it was fantastic. It was in the gym, right? And so all the players had the jerseys on, and the coolest part was they walked out with all of his hardware. You know, he's got 3 national championships, made the playoffs, I don't know how many years in a row. So every single one of those players had a piece of hardware, and they walked it out the back in black.
That's sick.
Into the gymnasium. So that was really cool.
That is
a bunch of awesome speakers. And it was great. So shout out Butchie boy.
What made Butch, cause there was a couple of people who sort of in the time relevant space of his passing, when we asked for questions, there were several people who said, who wanted to know your thoughts on him. Me personally, I heard of him. You talked about him when we met you back in 2013 about how legendary your coach was and all this stuff. What made him so special?
He's just old school. You know what I mean? Like, he knew how to. The best thing about Butch was he was a teacher first, so he'd always been a part of the West Branch community, right?
Yeah.
Always lived there. Always had his hand in some part of the community. And what you don't find nowadays is he taught, like, what people don't understand is, like, he taught, he taught PE. He did girls basketball at eighth grade. I think it was eighth grade or seventh grade. He did our eighth grade basketball. So he always had a hand, you know, it wasn't just football.
He was just super involved with everything.
Super involved. So, like, in eighth grade coming up, like, you already knew Butch because he was already yelling at you in eighth grade.
Yeah.
And knowing me, I mean, of course, I got my asshole reamed out by him, you know.
Well, all the fucking time. I think you got yelled at by a lot of people.
A lot of people, and I deserved it. I mean, that's what people don't get. And you know, he'd always make sure the kids, because you know, West Branch had its fair share, you know, of kids that, you know, maybe didn't want to go out for football or didn't want to be a part of the community, but Butch would kind of like make them in a way. And I know a lot of guys where at the end of it, they were super happy because of it. And it gave them structure, gave them discipline.
Yeah.
Because like I said, Butch is an old school dude. And so that's what the part, that's the side that they always see Butch, you know, the Butch Peterson they know, super spoken on the sideline, you know, giving it to a ref or something like that. And everyone's like, oh, like this guy, you know, and just, that's all they see. They don't see the background. They don't see the Butch Peterson that, you know, we all saw. And so that's one thing I'll say about Butch is he's just a really good dude. You know, at the end of the day, just a super good dude, great character. And just drove us to be our best for sure. And mother fucked us a lot. So yeah.
Shout out. Yeah. We all need someone to motherfuck us at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another person asked if you had a favorite memory of your time in the West Branch football program?
In the West Branch football program. Oh man. Favorite time. It sounds kind of bad. Like one memory that sticks out in my head, and this is, it was in practice, and we, you know how you have those 5-man dummy sleds where you can hit them and they retract, come back.
Yeah.
So we would have this drill and you'd be in a line. And as a senior at the time, I lined up behind a freshman and it didn't matter what line you were in, you know, you'd all fill the spots and they'd put a dummy, they put two dummies out in the middle of the field. So you'd have to hit the 5-man sled, Butch or one of the coaches would say, all right, hit. You'd hit it, drop, and then you would sprint to one of the bags. Mm-hmm. There's five guys, but only, it might have been four bags, and you can't see the bags because they're behind you, so they're moved in different spots that the coaches mm-hmm. would move them. So it's like musical chairs, but you get to hit people. And so I would be at the end of the line, and at the time, I mean, I was the strongest. I was the fastest. I mean, especially in the group that I was in.
You don't have to be modest. We get it.
Yeah. So I purposely put myself kind of behind, you know, a group of freshmen. And so he says hit, and I'm up off the ground, and I've hit the dummy before anyone's even like known, you know what I mean? They hadn't even hit it yet. So I like twirl like two of them to the ground. Smoke the third one in line as he's starting to run, and then the last one, and I do feel a little bit bad. Just some freshman, might be a sophomore, kid, I don't remember his name, but I mean I'm talking full loose as fast as I can, like I see red, this kid's almost to a bag, and I just full out WWE skull to skull underneath his shoulder pad, just level him.
Dude, Bo and played search and destroy with a bunch of friends.
And like, it's a great memory because I don't know. I just, because as a freshman, you get hazed a little bit you know what I mean? From the seniors in high school. Like I got it too. Yep. We did the same drill. So like being a senior, be able to kind of like get a little payback on somebody that didn't deserve it, you know, that's kind of a fond memory of mine, which you can think of you want. You can think what you want of me.
I love how that's the one that you pull up, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, it wasn't the touchdowns. Wasn't, you know, Friday Night Lights. That was all great. Like, that was all part of it. Like, I wouldn't trade any of that for the world. No, but it was just like
freshmen.
Yeah. Just letting some freshmen know what's up.
Well, because
you've always been a hunter, huh?
I've always been hunting.
You went hunting that day.
Yeah. I have something to say. I'm not going to say it.
Say it.
No.
Say it.
Nope.
I know what you're going to say.
You don't know.
I might know.
You probably do. I'm going to hold back on it. I will all say right,
that's probably smart.
I'll allude to it with this. I saw a picture of Dallas on Facebook today. Leave it there.
That's a good leave.
Gotta think about it, Kev. Gotta think about it.
Don't think about it too hard, Kev. We'll talk about it later.
You were pretty good at West Branch.
I'd like to think so.
You were.
Here's what I was good at. Okay, listen to this. I was back home for this thing, and I was actually digging through some of my old shit. You know what I was good at? Baseball. I dug through one of my old clippings before we went to state. My junior year, we had a really good team.
Yep.
We had a pitcher, by the name of Cody Brandt, lefty, tall, you know, 12-6, could just bring the heat, and it had leverage. And then I was going into state, I was hitting, I think it's like 441. I was slugging like 860. I had 22 stolen bases.
Okay.
Yeah, I had 11 home runs, and I had 40 something RBIs.
Stud.
I think it might have something around there. I was looking at that and I was like, I should have just played baseball.
Well, okay, so that's the question. When was the what determined football over baseball? And as a kid, and I laugh every time I think about it because we've talked about like a young Bo Bauer who just had like straight up ADHD and was all over the place and needed like something to do at all times.
Riddling.
Like you played all the sports, you know, like all of us did. When if you were so good at baseball, why did you end up playing football?
I mean, growing up, like right outside of Iowa City, growing up in Iowa City till I was in sixth grade, like Iowa football's king.
Yeah.
I mean, it's king. I got offered to play at Winona State, and then I got like a 50% ride to play at Iowa, like at the very end there before football was even really a deal. Once football started calling, like I got a full ride to UNI, I was like, I gotta take a full ride. Like,
I guess I never knew you could have played baseball at Iowa.
Yeah. When Brownlee was there, I think I got like 50% or something like that. It might have been 25.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I never knew.
So I got that, and then but football's king. When Coach Woods started calling, I mean, it was over.
It's hard to as a kid who grows up 17 minutes down the road, it's hard to get the offer of a chance to play in Kinnick and be like, "Ah, I'm good."
100%. And Iowa baseball at the time, you know, they weren't doing anything flashy. I mean, it wasn't.
They're kind of elite now.
They're elite now. And they were just, that was just when they were starting to kind of rebuild. Yeah, I don't regret anything, but it would have been because growing up, like baseball was king. I mean, that's all I did. I mean, it was like 200 cuts, you know, every other night, like nonstop. Ball, dad would be flinging pop flies out of his machine.
Oh yeah, Chris Barr.
Stop by me 24/7. Like baseball was what I trained for.
Every day we went out to, well, every day. It made it sound like we did it every day. Every time that we went out to your house in West Branch, what we would do is we would play catch.
Yeah,
like we wouldn't throw the football. I mean, we threw the football around a little bit, shot some guns, but we would play catch, like long toss out on your property. And it was fun as fuck, dude.
Yeah. I still can't throw a football to save my life, but I can throw a baseball. I don't really know. I don't know why, but whatever.
Going to the batting cage. It was, yeah, that was so sick. So you end up playing football at Iowa, of course. Do you remember when you met me?
Shrine Bowl?
Yep.
Was it the Shrine Bowl?
So sick.
Bowl? Dude, we got our asses beat. Coach Wilson, shout out. Dowling Catholic. He decided to beat the shit out of us because he's old school too.
Yep.
But was it worth it at the end to win the game? Probably, because like honestly, like, oh dude, what's the one dude's name? It was like Chibati or what's his name, dude? Talk about. Oh yes, my
dude.
God,
dude. Cole Pachotti.
Pachotti, yes, dude.
From like Pleasant Valley.
Dude, Sargent, I think his last name was.
Where do you think Cole Pachotti is at, dude? I split time with him at linebacker for that game.
I don't know. Where did he come from? What school is he at?
Pleasant Valley.
Oh, really?
I think we're on the same team. Do you remember the kid who went Cody Polk?
Yeah, dude. I remember Polk. Yeah.
He went to Minnesota.
Yep.
There were some studs in that game. Before I even knew who he was, Andrew Weller.
Yes.
Was a running back.
Wellick was in there. Ike was in there. John was in there. Wizard. Oh man, who? Oh dude, the kicker for the Bills right now,
Matt Hawk.
Yeah, Hawk was there.
I don't think he's on the Bills anymore, but he started at the Dolphins and then went to and played with Ike, and now last year was on the Colts, I believe.
Colts. Okay. Anyway, he's still in the league. Like
we opened the game with an 86-yard bomb to him. And he was playing receiver.
Oh, yeah, he was, wasn't he? Yeah, we had some – well, I mean, we were going to win that game, one, because we were doing Oklahoma drill.
Yeah.
And we look over – we started off every practice doing, like, some kind of skull-crushing drill, two-a-days. We look over, and the North team is over there throwing the football around with no pads on.
They did 7-on-7 all week.
Dude, like, first off, that's what we should have been doing. Like, come on, Max.
Especially because we went to Iowa camp the next week.
Yeah. Yeah, and then I snapped my thumb in that game, so I'm wearing a fucking club.
You did get hurt, and you started your career in Iowa City hurt.
I wore a club.
How horrible.
It got changed every like 6 days or something like that because it was so sweaty. It's camp. I mean,
it's ass, dude.
It was OG 2-day camp at Iowa, so there's no getting away from that. That sucked.
Fuck.
Don't mention.
So I was like, yeah, come on, no, you gotta grab him. You gotta turn his pads, or you know, Coach Woods or somebody. It's like I got a club on, so I'm just like poking shoulder pads with it, or trying to clip someone's heels. So yeah, no fun. Clubs suck.
The couple questions about your Iowa career, then we're gonna move on. One of them was similar to your favorite memory from being at West Branch. What was your favorite memory of being in the Iowa program? And part B, has your perception changed of your time in the program as we have gotten further away from it?
Easily, I think the best, and I mentioned this with when we were on with Riley, it had to have been Ohio State.
Yeah.
I mean, like when Hooker picked that ball off, there's two times Kinnick's been like as loud as it could possibly be. One, when Hooker picked that ball off, and two, on that final drive of Penn State when we were soaking wet sealing it in Kinnick when they beat us on that last play.
Yeah.
Like that drive, there's a couple plays there where Kinnick was like, you couldn't even breathe. It was so loud.
During our time, those were the two loudest times. Yeah,
those were that I remember being on the field. Hooker's probably took the cake. That was like a nuke went off.
I think
it was so sudden, and it just went. Everyone's just like, "Wow!" I was like,
"Did you?" I don't know if you did. You probably didn't. You didn't make it to the 2021 Penn State game, did you?
No.
It was louder then.
It was louder. I mean, it's crazy. It's comparing apples and oranges because that new north end zone just traps all the sound.
It's true. And the touchdown happened in that end zone too. That was the loudest I've ever heard Kinnick, and I've been in every corner and side of Kinnick.
Yeah. During, 2021 Penn State pick.
But then I would say Hooker pick, and then the Penn State game where we got beat. When you look back on our time at Iowa, do you really see it as a formative period of time in Bo Bauer's life? Did it turn you into a man?
100%. I mean, we spend more of our time with our position coaches and the strength staff.
Coach
like
Wallace.
Yeah, Coach. Shout out, go Wallace. By the way, when's that merch dropping? When's that?
Ben dropped, man.
Yeah, the Goat Wallace merch is coming back. We'll get you a t-shirt.
Excellent. Between Coach Doyle and, you know, the position coaches, I mean, yeah, they made me who I am for sure. I mean, Coach Doyle, you know how he was. I mean, he liked the motherfucker, maybe a little bit more than he should have, but he liked the motherfucker.
Mm.
And, you know, I wouldn't take anything back for sure. It definitely developed me into the man I am today, 100%, especially when it comes to, you know, being in the workforce, being in the civilian sector of life.
I was just going to say, do you guys ever have moments in your day-to-day where you're like, I'm glad I went through this, or you just get like a flashback to like college. You're like, I'm prepared for this. Like, I feel good about this.
100%. I mean, Kevin can relate to this too. I mean, you get into the medical field like we're in. I mean, me growing up, I mean, would you guys ever thought I'd be in an OR every day telling a doctor how to do something? No.
It would have been the last place, in fact, that I would. Yeah,
you don't tell him what to do. You provide suggestions on what to do, Joe. It's up to him if he wants to do that.
Yeah,
anyway.
Thanks, Kev, for the OSHA.
Anyway, you get my drift. No, I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have thought I was ever going to be doing something like that. Being in that kind of environment, it's extremely stressful, especially when you first start out. And I think Iowa 100% helped me and developed me and, gave me the kind of stresses I needed to combat the stresses of that environment, because it's a very stressful environment.
You were, I see you, Bo, as someone who sort of probably more than I would say most of the guys in our class, though, you came in to Iowa City with an extremely good work ethic. And I view your dad as someone who, you know, you talked about him doing cuts. You're out there playing catch. You had more discipline and structure and sort of, you know, you live out on land. You're used to doing like kind of like Josie used to doing chores. I would say your work ethic, your determination, your it was already kind of up there though. So do you think that Iowa more it honed in on those things that you already had? Because I don't think it gave those to you. Because you're pretty hardworking, like you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean the difference between the two is obviously Chris instilled, you know, a work ethic in me that I didn't have. If you know what I mean, like I mean I didn't want to do half the things that he'd make me do when I was younger, right? He basically forced me to have a work ethic. It was either that or, you know, get the fuck out. Like, my dad doesn't fuck around, so, shout out Chris Bauer.
So you think
work Doyle... ethic, in my opinion, is making yourself do those things when you don't want to, and there's no one who can punish you if you don't do them.
Right? 100%, and that was instilled, you know, that was instilled into me by my parents, obviously, right? When you get to Iowa, it's on you to fall back on the training, as we always say, right? Fall back on what was instilled in you and thrive. And the difference between the two is, you know, you're having to, you know, wake up and getting forced to go to, you know, workouts in high school and do all this because you want, you know, you're a young kid at the time. You don't know shit from shit. And so when you get to college, it's either you shine in those big moments, like in Kinnick, like you better have a good work ethic. You know what I mean? Like
you got to have the want to.
You got to do it. So they put you in that kind of position, and you better perform. And that's where, you know, the ethic of, you know, watching film, getting in the weight room, it kind of instills a different kind of ethic into you. You know, you catch my drift. It instills a higher level of performance and work ethic that you need to have more than you ever thought.
Doyle and that staff and the level of Iowa provided you the platform to which that work ethic, even at a higher level, at the highest level it could be tested.
Yes, 100%.
And then you are faced to you have to face the fire, and you're either going to pass or fail.
Because it's easy at Iowa because everything's mapped out for you. Yep. Like
you just follow the directions. You'll have
exactly success. Like that's like, not
work to figure anything out for yourself.
Yeah. The work ethic part is above and beyond what they tell you to do to make yourself the best player you can be. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys just don't want to do that. And that's what makes Iowa different. Is the culture's not for everybody. Like it isn't. So you come, you think it's going to be this and that, and then you realize, oh shit, I'm going to get yelled at. Oh, I'm just going to crumble. And
a lot of guys did.
Well, yeah, I'm going to crumble and decide to blame other people for my problems. And this is where lawsuits come into play. And we can get into that if we're not going to, but you catch my drift. It's just, it's bullshit. So that's my two cents on it.
There was actually a funny question, sort of relating to the lawsuits in the Discord. Someone said, wanted to know if you'd ever taken a shit that was as big as the piece of shit that XYZ player was. And he happened to be named in that lawsuit. Anyway, we'll skip over that one. Good question, though, from the Discord. Yeah. Love that question.
Big shits.
Big, yeah. By the way, do you know our intern Gary here is from Colorado?
Yes. You're a Broncos fan in Colorado Springs, right?
I'm from closer to, I'm like in between Colorado Springs and Denver. So I'm probably like
Monument.
No, so I'm probably like 25 minutes north of Monument. Like I don't want to like, I mean, I'm close to like, I'm right by like the intersection of 25.
Give us your fucking address, Grant. We're going to dox your ass.
I was going to say, I like probably just drove by your house.
Yeah, no, potentially.
Didn't you have somebody at the Air Force Academy, or you were out here for something not too long ago?
Yeah, no, I was at the – I have a couple friends that go to the Air Force Academy. Yeah, I was down there for the Air Force was playing Bryant. Yeah, big Air Force lacrosse fan. So had to be down there to support.
Nice. I could almost see the Air Force Academy on my window if it wasn't blocked by some buildings. I live like right across the street.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah.
Gave out my address.
Yeah, we'll dox you too, Bo. This is how big time we are. So this is he's our intern slash producer. And the walk-ons are going to tight end you in Nashville this summer, and we're taking Grant with us.
Fantastic.
We're very proud of that.
I'm going to try to go to Kittle Fest. I can't go to tight end you, but I'd like to go to Kittle Fest.
Kittle Fest. Yeah. That's I've heard it's good. I'm sure Drake will be there. What was I going to get into? Oh, you know what? Speaking of hunting, we should slide this in there. You ever hunt for pork?
Did you guys know that Chris Bauer's a pork man?
He's a pork guy.
He's been a pork guy for a while now, man.
Chris Bauer was a pork guy before the washed-up walk-ons were pork guys.
Pork guys. Well, dude,
Chris has always been porking.
Why? Oh, Chris has been porking.
This is the result right here of Chris's porking.
Right.
Hey.
You're Chris's pork. Shout out to Chris Bauer for being a pork guy. Shout out to the Washington County pork producers for sponsoring this podcast. Bo's always talked about how he wanted to hunt pigs out of a helicopter down in Texas, right? Is that where they do that?
You can do it in Texas. Yeah, southeast, yeah. You can do
$9,000 unlimited ammo, helicopter for 3 days and lodging. Let's do it.
And you
a
and
piece like or they, total?
That's total. That's like with six dudes.
And they so have
to done.
They have to do that, right? Because of overpopulation.
The hogs are making their way north. I mean, we don't really see them in the Midwest as much, but I mean, they're like in southern Missouri. They might even be north now. I don't know.
You can shoot them
a little bit, but they're there. Like they're making their way. I mean, they wreak havoc on farmland.
Zombie horde of pigs is coming towards Iowa.
Yeah, they're a pest. So you don't need any kind of license or anything like that. You can take as many as you want because they're just ravishing the farmland in the southern United States. Bad.
I don't think the wild hogs that you pump full of lead are the ones you eat, but
you can
definitely can.
But the ones here in Iowa, Washington County, second largest pork producing county in the country, by the way, those eat.
We got to pump those numbers up. Come on, Wash Up Walk-Ons fan, go buy some.
Yeah, go buy some pork so we can get Washington County to number one.
Number one, baby.
Speaking of pork, I saw an article in the I think it came across my Facebook that the pork producer tent at the state fair is now being redone into a permanent building. Updated, beautiful place for you to eat pork burgers, pork chops.
Give me a ham, boys. Give me a
Did you have an Easter ham?
Did you have a ham for Easter?
It's a Christmas ham. I mean, here's the thing. It's a Thanksgiving ham. It's a Christmas ham. It's an Easter ham. Ham is on the menu all the time.
You're a big ham guy.
There's nothing better. Like my grandma, shout out Graham Rodeberg, would always have just cold leftover ham. And there's no better cold snack. He would take it out cold.
But
you know what I'm saying? It's a thick piece. You don't have to warm it up. It doesn't have to be warmed up. You take some sauce or some ketchup or just
do not put ketchup on ham.
Oh, you do.
So, I don't.
I'd do it. Screw it.
Shout out pork, baby. Kevin, be quiet.
Shout out to the pork producer for sponsoring the show. I have a hard time believing that there's any Iowa podcasts out there that that their advertisements go off the rails as much as ours do. But I also have a hard time believing that there's anybody who converts better than we do. So shout out to him. This person on Twitter under the "Do you have any questions or comments for Bo?" said, "Bo Bauer is a great name for a redneck porn star."
Yes. That is me. That actually was my life between my fiance and football was Bo Bauer, the redneck.
No, it wasn't. No.
I've seen the videos.
Okay. All right.
You were in the videos, Kevin.
Do you want to? Oh, my goodness. Do you want to see the picture that I shared on Twitter of when I asked for questions for you?
Sure.
It's this one.
Oh. That was about 40 pounds ago. I weighed myself yesterday, 193.
Oh, dude, my God, you're skinny, dude.
193?
Yeah, I'm pretty skinny. I'm almost a little too skinny. I could gain a little bit more weight.
My guy needs to get back into the Olympic lifting.
I do a lot more Olympic lifting with CrossFit than I like ever have.
You're a CrossFit guy now.
Yeah, I do it. I go to my CrossFit gym over here. So
I converted you.
You didn't, but I just found the place and decided to give it a try and thought I'd hate it, but
it's not bad.
It's an hour workout and it's extremely high intensity. So
better than running.
Oh my God. So much better.
Well, it's definitely better than an hour worth of running.
Shivers.
We got someone who wants to know what, and you're not going to be able to tell your favorite, but someone wants to know what your favorite Drake story is. So
you might
have to go, I don't know, down to like number 12 because the
Damn
first
it.
11 aren't tellable, but is there anything that is that you can divulge to the listeners that has to do with Drake? That's a good story. There's nothing.
Okay, I got one.
Okay.
This is like teeter in the line, but I think we're good. It's not really teeter in the line.
I can always edit too.
Okay, so there was a time when Drake was always complaining, and I actually still have the video on my phone. It's fantastic. This is as PG as it's going to get, because I've got the first one that popped in my mind. I can't say, but it's fantastic. God.
Which one is it? Can you give like clue words that we would know?
Something to do with throw up.
Oh.
I mean, we could go all the way back to Hillcrest when the kid pulled the fire alarm because he's a psychopath.
We've talked about that one, yeah.
I mean, there's so many Drakes. But one time, this is when we were living together, and this is one that maybe people don't know as well. Drake actually was complaining because he chafed so fucking bad in his gooch area.
Oh.
And he had never used a thing called spray-on Gold Bond before. And I don't remember if I convinced him that it would cure it instantly and there would be no pain, or that I told him it was going to be really painful and he was like, ugh, dude, it's not going to be that bad. Naked Drake, gooch in the air, spray. I mean, I'm talking, like, usually you're just like, here's Drake, full can. And it's hitting the gooch area and it's got that, the air hits you before anything you can feel shit. So he's spraying it on before it starts to burn. Because he's raw. I mean, he's red. This man on his hands and knees for a solid like 5 minutes, just like pleading how bad his gooch is on fire, balls and all.
I remember that.
So there's a PG Drake story because I can't think of another one.
Drake goes.
Yeah, I'm trying. I mean, I could, we could go for days.
We could ruin him.
Ruin. I love it.
He's tried to ruin himself before, but we could ruin him.
He always tries to ruin himself.
When sharing a place with the Benton boys, we often refer to ourselves, the six of us, as the Benton boys.
Squad.
Who was the dirtiest and who was the most annoying?
The dirtiest. I don't know if you guys remember. Do you guys remember Adam Cox being a part of the Benton squad? Mm-hmm. He lived there for a little while.
That's
not part of the boys, but I mean, the first person stinky comes to mind is Cox. I mean, he's going to hate me saying that, but sorry, bud. Adam Cox, stinkiest. out of us, though, out of the six of us,
Kevin's going to say me because I didn't do the dishes.
Never once did the fucking dishes.
That's not true. I did them once or twice.
I can't speak for really you two, but as far as it goes with the four of us in Benton,
actually,
I don't know. I think we're all pretty equal. I mean, Josie had Mick, so he's kind of out of there. Like, he doesn't count.
Didn't count.
He's
pretty
clean.
Kev, you want to know who was actually the dirtiest? John.
Yes.
And you know why.
I do know why.
I also know why.
Everyone knows why. Except podcast listeners.
Well, won't say, but
all right. We'll put it on John then, since he can't defend himself right now. Fuck him.
Love that. Also, what was the most memorable play / tackle that you had in the black and gold?
Probably my first pick.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that kind of solidified the deal right there. That was nice. I didn't realize how big that play was until after the fact, but that kind of helped me start the rest of the year. So that'd probably be that one.
It's decent. Did you feel lightning in the tip of your penis when you jumped that one?
100%. I caught it like an idiot. I caught it like,
yeah, you did.
I learned how to catch with my bad thumb. I learned how to catch like
trapping it.
For the listeners that can't see, just imagine something extremely idiotic.
Like if you had two paddles and you just had to trap the ball between them.
Yeah, pretty much. So I caught the ball like that, and luckily I caught it and stayed in bounds. So no complaints.
How bad? This is just a question from me. How bad did you need oxygen in the North Texas game?
How bad? I said oxygen. I think that was the same game that Ben Neiman threw up on the field too.
Oh, really?
Projectile vomiting. It was one of those early games. It might have been my aunt. No, that was the next year. I remember him projectile vomiting in the beginning of the season, I think.
Do you remember?
I think Miami might have been right the following year.
Yeah,
maybe it was. God, that was funny.
Do you remember?
I was on the field for your pick six.
You were what?
I was on the field for your pick six versus North Texas.
Good. Where were you? Oh yeah, you didn't run to the end zone because you had to do kickoff like me the next play. You're trying to save yourself. Yeah,
that's ass.
It was a long ways away, and no one was even really trying to get you.
And then we were up by like 40-some points. And then Josh Jackson's just like coasting. Running just as fast, just like jogging.
How bad were you just praying for a touchback on that kickoff, the following the touchdown?
Pretty bad. That's tough.
Do you remember when Josie knocked Ben out?
I do. I remember that very well, because then I had to go relieve him.
That's fun.
That was not fun for Ben.
No.
It was kind of funny afterwards.
The clip of it is kind of funny.
It's tough.
It's tough for Ben.
It's a big head, too. To get that head wobbled like that, that's a lot of empty space inside there.
A lot of empty space.
JK, Ben, you're smart. I'm just giving you
He's got a Super Bowl ring. I mean,
he's a king. And you can't even say anything bad about Ben.
Seriously.
He's such a goat.
Kevin, any other topics you want to hit with Bo before we let him go? Gary, you got any questions for the man?
What tool were you just brandishing in front of us?
Oh, this is for you have to have a couple special tools with the M1A. It's an Army issued rifle from basically Vietnam. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I mean, it's a fantastic rifle all the way through, but to get the muzzle break off, you have to use a special tool that goes around one of the rings.
Interesting. And you're just like playing around with it?
It's just sitting here in this is like my man cave.
Yeah. Tell us about your friend over your left shoulder there.
Oh, that right there?
Yeah.
That. You guys ever seen a 90-inch goat? Well, for those who don't know, that's big. It's really big.
Is his name Wallace?
Yeah, you could say that's Goat Wallace. Hey,
you should get him a T-shirt and hang it up there.
Yeah.
Oh, I will. I'll put it over the. I'll put it over the.
Over the antler.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a big goat. So I shot that in New Mexico what 3 years ago now, and like the world record's like 97 inches, 96 inches. Boone and Crockett's like 93.5, and that's 90. So
you feel pretty big dick goat. After that.
Yeah, I felt really good after that.
Love that.
Tasted good too.
Grant, you got any
favorite game to eat?
Favorite game to eat is if you were to count bison in it, it'd be bison. But I'm not going to count that because it technically wasn't wild, but it was wild, but it was
tame.
You know, on a ranch. It was tame.
It's not like a mass produced.
It's gamey. Yeah. Not really. It's not gamey. Antelope, super gamey. Antelope has like no fat on it. Super lean. Some people call it the poor man's mule deer. Whatever. I like it. That's just what some ranchers call it in New Mexico. But mule deer is probably my favorite. Mule deer or elk. I'd say mule deer. I really like I like mule deer, especially when they get in the corn on the lowlands, the low areas of Colorado. Fattier, it's like whitetail. Whitetail's great in the Midwest.
Whitetail deer.
Yeah, they get in that corn and they're nice and fat.
Nice and fat. Grant, any questions?
Who did your rookie haircut when you were on the Broncos?
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I don't remember who did it. Oh, it was Todd, what's his last name? He's got a Super Bowl ring, the linebacker at the time who had been there. God, what was his last name? Anyway, he was a starting middle linebacker for them at the time. He did my hair. He just shaved it off. That's a photo you can find, too. They completely butchered me, and I had to do my beard, too, so I looked like a penis.
Oh, Josie's beard? Oh, no. Josie got it bad, too.
Yeah, I remember Josie getting it pretty bad, too. He looked like Adolf. That sucked.
There's a picture of him during...
Baz got it the worst out of everyone. They kind of stopped doing that around the league, didn't they?
I don't know. I don't remember what... I don't know if they stopped doing it or not. They still do shit, but maybe not as...
They shaved poor Baz's head, and it just never grew back.
Boys. Amazing. Josie got absolutely torched with... Dude... Come on. Sharing the screen now.
Excellent.
Josie got
torched. Oh, he did. Oh, yeah. He got torched pretty good. Oh, that's awesome.
If I can find, there's a picture of him with it's during the national anthem. Dude, look at Tebow's. Tebow got torched too.
That's tough.
I don't know why Tebow showed up when I searched Josie.
Oh, they gave him the monk one.
They gave him, yep. That's fitting.
No, they got Josie looking like the tattletale strangler out there.
Jesus.
Yes. Is that what it's the
SpongeBob guy pulled up?
The tattletale
strangler.
It was tattletale strangler. I was thinking of the hash slashing slasher, whatever the hell.
The hash slinging slasher.
The hash slinging slasher. Yes.
Yes. It's Josie.
Josie. Holy shit.
All right, well, Bo Bauer.
Here I am.
General.
Wash-ons for life, or walk-on, wash-ons for life. Oh, my God.
You can wash on us, too.
So when Drake inevitably falls off the face of the earth one way or another, are you going to be the third washed-up walk-on with us?
Yes, and Drake's not falling off anything. I am the one who has to kill him.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, he can't do that. We have a contract. Yeah. I'm the one who gets to kill him. And that's that. So
we are witnesses to said contract.
Anyone can watch. He's going to be going 200 miles an hour on an R1, and I'm going to shoot him in the face with a 50 BMG. 450 grains of American lead straight through his dome.
And then you get to just step in and take his spot, and it'll be us three every time we do this.
That's fine. I'm here. I'm a walk-on, so... I was in the group chat for a hot minute.
I do remember. There's only one person other than the three of us who had potential claim to the beginning of the Wash Up Walk-On, and it is you, Bo Bauer.
Sweet. So I'll be the third when Drake's long and gone.
We love that. Not sure what episode, but hope you guys enjoyed listening. We'll be back again on Monday, and until then. Have a good one. Peace.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.